By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear Muslim brothers and viewers of Madani channel if you can please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وَعِلَىٰ أَلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our program, Rise and Shine. As usual, let's begin this program, Rise and Shine, by listening to the verses of the glorious Qur'an. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم My dear brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, we are back And mashallah, we have Amarba, mashallah. We love to have Amarba here. As always, mashallah, Amarba is always brilliant. He's always doing good for our program. He's helping us rise and shine, no doubt about it. Let's turn now to the Naat of the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله. حبيبي خدا کا نظارا کروں میں, حبیبی خدا کا نظارا کروں میں, حبیبی خدا کا نظارا کروں میں, دل و جان ان پر نثارا
کتاب ہے لبوں پر خدا
صدقے اتارا گھروں میں، یہ ایک جان کیا ہے اگر ہو کروڑوں، یہ ایک جان کیا ہے اگر ہو کروڑوں، یہ ایک جان کیا ہے اگر ہو
alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now today, mashallah, as usual, we have another topic. And today's topic, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, is that which you are watching. Our topic of the day, Amar Bhai, the television. Television, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, it said that in 1925, close to 100 years ago, 1925, the first image itself was transmitted. 3 years later, 1928, we had the introduction of what we come to know as a television, meaning a full video. Then, 8 years later approximately, in 1936, we had high-definition HD TVs. We had from pocket-sized TVs in 1930s also to nowadays, you get, you know, well, easily over the 100 centimeter, and you get TVs costing up to £1 million.
Wow.
From color TVs in 1965.
This, we're utilizing the same technology right now. We're on the tele screens right now, delivering this message, talking about television.
Yeah.
I think before actually speaking about television itself, you have to
So I think
realize.
You understood that the topic is the television itself. Go ahead.
So what we really need to realize now is that there's another shift happening. Because like for, if you go prior to television, first there were the newspapers, and then came about the radio. And then from radio we shifted to television. And we're undergoing another shift right now. So now there is actually less viewing of the television screen itself. But that's not to say that our screen time is reduced. Because we're still looking at screens, but we're not looking at the television screen.
Instead, on average, an individual spends 10 years of his life watching TV.
Allahu Akbar.
10 years. This is sometimes actually quite difficult to understand. But you know, like when you play games, but they make the, you know, the screens, they make them look real, or they store things that happen. But then you can check your statistics. Within the game, you can check your statistics as to how long you've been playing this particular game.
Hmm.
Now, many a time, on many games, people would spend days. It would come to days and then even months. So from days, obviously, that's the beginning, and then it goes to weeks and then months even. So imagine, you know, if few months on particular games, then Amarbhai, and this was, you know, many years ago, nowadays, it's only increasing, isn't it? So 10 years actually is really possibly not justified. You know, it could be possibly much more.
Yeah, when we have statistics, they usually work around the average. So some people would be below the average, some would be way above the average as well. So if you wanted to work out the exact amount of time, then it'd have to be done
That'd
on
be
an
subjective,
individual
wouldn't
basis.
It? Yeah.
It would be on an individual basis. Like, in the morning, I was just saying, if we even say a person's watching television for 3 hours a day, which is, you know, usually people do more than that, even for 3 hours a day, that adds, and if you lived for 60 years, now I've already done it, I'm going to be doing it on the fly. So if you lived for 60 years, that would be over 7 years of his, which he spent watching TV. So out of 60.
If he lived to 60.
If he watches
3 hours
a day, and he lives till 60. So out of the 60, he's watched television for 7 years. More than 7 years.
Right.
So out of 60, you've spent
By
7 years.
By the way, is your math?
Yeah. I was just sort of calculating. I was going to make you do it.
Then maybe
so I came with the plan. I'm going to make him do it and see if he can do it.
Yeah,
I did it already.
I won't doubt the veracity of, mashallah, your math, Samar bhai. Although it is a Monday morning. And
so, no, I think it's pretty much, that's how it is. I think I double checked with a calculator as well, just to be sure. So if we're watching television for 7 years, the question then is that really living? Is that really life?
You see, because then sleeping, if you're 60 years, then, you know, sleeping an average of 8 hours, would mean that if you're 60 years old, that's 20 hours, sorry,
yeah,
20
so be...
years sleeping. So if you spent 20 years sleeping, approximately about 3 years commuting, you know, I did have the stats. I don't have them with
There's
me right now.
There's about
but,
5 years.
And then
years.
Eating, which is takes up about 1.5 years, even grooming itself, meaning when a person looks after, you know, washing their face, brushing their teeth, etc., takes about 1.3 years or so. So all of these years,
even something as simple as queuing up, because we do that so much in this country. Like on average, a person spends about 5 years of his life just queuing up. Yeah.
Allah.
So there's so much stuff that's taking up your time. So that's what I was saying. The question is that really living? Living as in living with that full consciousness.
Living life.
Living life. And really making, utilizing life. Because when you calculate, like the way you've just said, when you calculate like that, you realize there's only a very small portion.
There's about 9 years, which I remember, in which you're conscious and out of work also.
Yeah.
And you see, so again, a marbha, somebody could think, you know, my work's different, I enjoy my work. So then theirs would not be included also, wouldn't it? For example, me, I never feel like, in a way, this is work for me, isn't it? But I've never ever thought I'm going to work. Alhamdulillah, never. Some people ask me, you know, how's work? And sometimes I think to myself, what work? Yeah. Really, I think, you know, I've never thought of it as work until people say, how's work?
So this is what I was going to say, that you have that small portion of your life to actually make a big impact. Now, depending on your aspirations, you can have that impact in a worldly way or in a religious way. So mashallah, you have dedicated yourself to the religious side. Now for you, that is better in the sense that you've got reward for your efforts inshallah, and you're utilizing your life. So that portion of your life that you have to make an impact, You're utilizing that to serve the religion of Allah. But at the same time,
People use the word term, don't they? Living life. Alhamdulillah, I'm living life.
MashaAllah. But you see now, the perception, it depends on the perception of a person. Now, somebody who has been brought up in an environment where he is at least, if he's not fed any anti-religious information, at the very least, he has this dislikeness towards religious work or religious people, because like we have this in our culture where we say, okay, this person, he's a scholar, he's a maulvi, he must just spend all his day in the masjid. He has nothing to live for.
He has nothing to live.
So that if that's a perception you have,
spend
right?
A day with me, bye.
So if that's a perception a person has, then you know, if you tell him, oh, I'm living life, serving religion, he's not going to understand that. So yeah, but first, I think there's a need to there's a mental shift that needs to take place. So for us, now, coming to that, if we have that small portion of our life to make an impact, let's take out the years that we spend watching TV. Let's take those out for now. So we add those to the years that we could make an impact. Now, the choice is, do I then utilize those years watching the TV and just wasting away time like that? Or do I utilize them for a better purpose?
Right.
So, this is where you start to look at how does TV impact us? How does the television impact us? And even, you know, I don't know if this was planned or by coincidence, but every time I've been, we've had very closely related topics. So we had, for example, children and technology, then we've had time management, and now TV, and they're very closely linked together.
You see, I know you're interested in these whole things. You know, you love your TV, you love your technology.
I do like my technology. I'm also, I think I probably mentioned it before, I'm very into my psychology, so psychological research. So definitely, these are things that I do like discussing, especially the neurological, like, you know, from a brain point of view, what impact does it have on us? So now when a person's watching TV, this is another thing. What state is he in now? His brain is in a very passive state, which means that the brain is just absorbing information, but it's not really analyzing it or criticizing it to most of the times. So what we're having is we're just taking in information. So now if I think I'm watching TV and I'm increasing my knowledge, that's not necessarily true as well. Because it depends on what you're watching.
Yeah.
If you're watching something which is total false and you're being misinformed and you're educating yourself through that information, you're not really educating yourself. You're not really increasing your knowledge. Rather, it's actually having a negative impact. So this is another thing that we need to be aware of. When we're watching TV, generally, our brain is in that passive state where we're not really analyzing what we're getting. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Now, if we, like I said, if we look, especially from the, within UK as well, the statistics from 2010 to 2017,
right,
there has actually been a reduced and the time spent viewing TV. But like I said, that does not mean we've got a reduced screen time. Rather, we still have an increased screen time. What we're doing is shifting from watching television to our devices, to our PCs, mobile phones, and using other means of viewing videos and so on and so forth.
Right.
So it still doesn't have that same, it's not something positive. Rather, it depends now, you can have a control state or you can just continue to view like, just like you would do on a television. So there are a few things. First thing we have to realize that the industry itself, television, it is a business at the end of the day. So everybody's fighting for your attention. So it doesn't matter how that's done, whether that's done by presenting in front of you reality TV shows or whether that's done by showing you football games or whatever. But because the more you view, the higher number of viewerships, the more then that company or that channel can charge the people who are advertising with them. Because we have a higher viewership, and particularly this is our peak time. So if you want to advertise with us at this time, you need to be paying more. So we're just being used as a means of income. And when you realize that.
So does that mean the viewers of Madani channel?
So now, within Madani channel, alhamdulillah, we don't have that. We don't have, because Madani channel is not for business purposes. It's not commercial. It's not something that's a means of income for Dawat Islami. Rather, this is actually a lot of outgoing cash that Dawat Islami bears the expenses of. Yeah.
No.
But I'm saying in a normal setting. So because everybody's fighting for your attention, they're gonna find ways to get that attention. So do you not think that they'll hire psychologists and these attention engineers, as we call them, to say, okay, how can we increase that interaction from our audience? Yeah. So when we're watching a show, keep in mind that that show has been very cleverly designed to get you hooked on, to get you addicted. And then the shows are very cleverly designed to have advertisements integrated into them. So at this particular point, there will be an advertisement. So at the moment, I'm not even speaking from a permissibility or impermissibility point of view.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and as a general information, keep in mind that there's a lot going on when you're watching something.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you're hooked on to something, you're addicted to watching something, there's probably a reason behind that. And then another thing is that when, in the name of reality TV, people watch this, and this, another once we can raise that same question, is this living? Because what's happened, and I know even during my school life, I'd see people just sat on a table discussing what had happened in a reality TV show. It is as though it is part of their life. It has nothing to do with them. Like the actor or whoever has participated in that program, they've been paid, they've been paid their share, and they've gone.
Okay.
Why are you wasting your time and your life discussing what had happened there? Like, what's the rationale behind that? Because people do that. Friends would literally sit around a table and they'd discuss, that happened, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that. If you think, is that living now? Could my time... Have I got so much extra time that I'm killing it with things like this?
You see, we don't kill time.
Yeah, exactly.
Time kills us.
Yeah. So this is the thing. But we normally call it killing time.
Yeah.
So if you are killing time like that, that means you really do not have much healthy activities in your life.
No, it's true what you're saying. Because look, for example, we're taking the example of actors, etc. Actors, they go in there, they're doing their job, and then they're just leaving, aren't they?
Yeah. Whereas they've got nothing to do with you. They've been paid.
In fact, Amar, by people actually commit suicide and all of these things just due to sometimes a movie.
Yes. And there have been many incidents where either suicide or a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, but
and
if,
when it was looked
if this
into,
happens in this movie, if this doesn't happen, then that's it. MazAllah, I'm going to commit suicide. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But Amaba, what would you say about Madani channel?
So, I wanted to come on to this towards the end, but I'll mention it now anyways, because
I think
we started with the, obviously I've given figures and stuff, and you might be thinking, wait, that's really negative.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say
we've started negatively, haven't we?
It's realistically speaking, I think if you were to say to even the viewers of Madani channel, get rid of your TV, come out of your house, I don't think anybody's going to do that. Realistically, in this day and age, coming back to reality, if we say do not use your phone, do not use your PCs and tablets, it's not feasible. It's not something, because they've become such an integral part of our life now.
No, you see, we don't say that, do we? We don't say don't use our phone, because we use our own phone.
Yeah. if you were to even say that, it's just not going to go down well.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. So that's not what we're suggesting here. What we're saying is, what you're watching impacts you.
Yeah.
So make sure you are very, very sort of severely judging what you're watching, and likewise what your children are watching. So alhamdulillah, with regards to Madani Channel, this is the reason why Madani Channel came about. Because there's this whole media war for attention. And, you know, people's attention's being taken in order to show them something immodest, something immoral, something bad. So this is the whole reason
haram.
Ultimately haram. So this is the reason for the whole reason for why Madani Channel actually came about. It's to at least put a stop to a certain extent to that. And, you know, right now I'd say even if we had 100 other channels like Madani Channel, which there is no commercial motive behind it. Rather, it's just purely to give out the right message to the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. Even if we had 100 like that, we'd still be short. Compared to, you know, if we look at the ratio of Madani Channel on one side, Madani Channel single-handedly is trying to tackle a whole army of other channels.
So, mashallah, this is good news for the viewers of Madani Channel. Inshallah, wa azzajal. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, you also pray for Madani Channel, pray for Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatum Al-Aliya, inshallah Azza wa Jal, pray for Dawat Islami also. That Sami shall be bringing to us a Madani Channel Kids channel, inshallah,
Allah
separate
Allah.
Channel, just for children, just for kids. So inshallah, I'm thinking, you know, the amount of benefits this will give us by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, it's, you know, it's a need, isn't it?
Alhamdulillah, like even right now on Madani Channel, you know, we have animations for kids. And that itself,
Ghulam-e
Rasool. You know, yeah, Ghulam-e Rasool. And that itself has had a really amazing feedback from the parents, from the kids alike. So if we can have something dedicated
you know
for the kids.
I don't know how many viewers of the Madani Channel know or are aware about Ghulam-e Rasool. But Ghulam-e Rasool, mashallah, is, you know, it's a character, an animation, mashallah, made by Dawat Islami. It comes on Madani Channel many a time. The brilliant thing about this, Amarba, is I showed my nephew. You know, when I first saw it, I don't think I was one of the first, but I saw it quite late. But when I saw it, mashallah, I was like, wow. That's nice. It really is, you know, really nice. And I watched it a few times. And then I showed my nephew, and he doesn't understand a word of Urdu, possibly. He doesn't understand a word of Urdu. And I just played it and I showed it to him. And he was watching, it was about a 10-minute long one. It was about a 10-minute long clip. He watched the entire thing from beginning to end without even turning away. So, you know, like when children are captivated by, you know, cartoons and, you know, such things. So alhamdulillah, you know, Dawat Islami has created these animations also for children. Why? So that generally what are they learning about? Whereas when you are to watch things like Ghulam-e Rasool, then what do they learn about?
You mentioned Urdu, but alhamdulillah, now we have that, you know, the same thing that's produced in Urdu is usually then later on transferred into the English language as well. So we have pieces or some episodes, you could say.
I think they have voiceovers,
yeah,
aren't they, in English?
Yeah,
so inshallah, in English. But you see, things take time, don't they? You know, we can't do everything immediately, my dear son, but it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money also, a lot of effort, and this doesn't come very quickly. It comes, again, over time. Everything comes back to time,
and
doesn't
then
it?
Then keep in mind, like I've already said, that this is not a commercial channel,
yeah.
So we're not really getting any income. So therefore, it is a lot of, you know, money going out, even producing animations like that.
Yeah, we don't have no advertisement. Most of the time on advertisements is a lot of, you know, immoral and immodest things being shown. But alhamdulillah, that's something we don't have this. But that does not mean that, you know, we have enough money. This is what some people think, Amar bhai. That's something has enough money.
I think the plans, if we just look at, and if somebody was to even ask Amir al-Sunnah, the plans that he has for Dawat Islami, I don't think they'll be, you know, we can ever say that we have enough money, because there's so much still to be done.
And because millions, doesn't it?
Say that I've just started,
yeah.
Even though, mashallah, he has achieved so much. So there's always, I mean, in terms of work for the religion, you know, that's never going to end. So, and you know, until to the point where the end of times comes. So until then, you could say that the work of religion is not going to end. And therefore, you can't ever say that you have enough money. You have enough fundings. Because if you're going to carry on that work, you can never say, I have enough now to last me until the end of time.
Inshallah, the more we have, the more we can do. My Islam brothers and viewers of my channel. But more on that later. Amar bhai, back to the television.
So we were speaking about kids. So I think it'll be good to sort of incorporate some points about kids as well watching television. We've already discussed with regards to screen time that kids below 2 years old should not realistically be having any screen time.
Any screen time.
And then above that, 2 to 5 is limited to 1 hour. And in fact, certain experts even say
this is 1 hour a day.
Yeah, 1 hour a day. But even then, certain experts even say that extend that to 3 years. So for the first 3 years, there is actually no purpose and no reason realistically for your child to be watching,
television. TV.
So,
you see, Amar bhai, do you know, like the tech giants, they don't even allow the children to watch television. Meaning, those people, for example, no screens whatsoever. Those individuals who create your, who make your phones, who make your, you know, all of these technologies which you have, you see, we don't mention names, do we? So this is the reason why we're not mentioning the names of the, you know, technologies, etc. But those who make them, the actual tech giants, you know, where they live in their so-called elite places, they don't allow their children to watch television. And they're the ones who are making it, so there must be something wrong with it.
Allah.
And so, even then, so that's what I'm thinking, that 1 hour a day is, you know, quite a lot.
Yeah, that's obviously, as I said,
even
that's what the recommendations
nowadays,
are. Even
celebrities nowadays, right? You know, many celebrities, so-called celebrities, in the eyes of most people, they don't allow the children to watch. Some even only have 10 minutes or possibly 40 minutes in a week. You know, so, this is all they allow for.
Yeah, let me sort of present to you one of the reasons for why this could be now. For example, you know, when firstly a child learns better through interaction. And when you're, normally when a child is watching TV, it's just a one-way thing. So the child's just absorbing things, but he's not really learning much. So they've done research where the kids who watched even something educational on the television, and on the other hand, kids that went and did it themselves, how much vocabulary, how did that impact their language, how did that impact their learning? So it was clear that the kids that went out and did things hands-on, they gained much more benefit. And then the other thing is, and this is the more serious thing, and this is something that, you know, all the viewers of Madani Channel need to take on board. What happens is normally when you're observing life, and you've got a very realistic understanding of life.
Right.
But when it comes on the television, especially programs that are designed for kids, there's a lot of things going on at once.
That's what I said, isn't it, Amar bhai, that the world is a child's science lab? It's a science lab, isn't it? Meaning a child, what does he do? He goes around the house, he experiments, breaks a few things, you know.
Helps himself, learns.
But this is what makes him progress and develop and, you know, learn, my dear brothers. Whereas parents, what they don't want, that they don't want, oh, he's going to cause mess, he's going to do this, let's sit him in front of the TV. So, if you wish to sit him in front of the TV, my dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, sit him in front of Madani Channel, and we have just a short clip for the viewers of Madani Channel. You can take a look at this clip, inshallah. This is let's take a look at it. Neither do I, Marbai. Let's find out. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Right, it's just a few pictures it is. So if those pictures could please be. Jee, could we please take a look at those pictures?
Okay, so these are the, I think, animated characters that we have. In that series of animations.
Pictures, again, could be shown. You know, it's a bit like our daily picture, isn't it? You know, what does this show? If 1 hour time, these pictures could be shown on screen. Amara will come and show.
I don't know, like, what you want me to analyze the picture. It's pretty simple. I think the purpose behind it was to just kind of make us aware when we were discussing Ghulam Rasool, Kimadini Pool, that animation that we have from Dawat Islami. So, that's normally the three main characters, you could say, that are usually in either one episode or the other episode. So you usually come across these. I think one of them, is it Faizan? Faizan bhai. The middle one is Ghulam Rasool. And the last one, I think maybe...
Is it Fatima? Kareem's
Fatima maybe, I'm not sure.
Subhanallah. Madani Channel brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you know, show your children those pictures and inshallah azza wa jal, soon when Madani Channel kids come out, to be honest, I can't wait.
I'm actually looking forward to it as well.
Sorry?
It'll be something really amazing. Something amazing.
We are
excited ourselves. So, To finish my point with regards to that, because it's a very important one. Now, when there's so much going on at once.
So the Ghulam Rasul, Faizan and?
Kaniz Fatima, maybe we want to
Kaniz Fatima.
I think so. So.
Right. Kaniz Fatima.
There is so much going on, you know, normally when you're watching programs that are designed for kids, there's a lot of movement and a lot of, stimulation there.
Yeah.
So much going on at once. And what happens there is normally in real life, that's not going to happen. So when the child is exposed to something like this, there is actually research which suggests that this affects a child's attention span later on in life. So he's not able to pay attention to things for a long time.
However, this is a problem which people face now, especially, you know, university students. Everywhere it is, isn't it? Where, you know, we don't have a long concert. It's about 1 minute or so.
And it's two, actually reducing over time, if you look at it from before. And
so
now
that's quite
reducing.
You know, surprising, isn't it? But our attention span, you know, we can only pay attention for about 1 minute. After that, our brains switch off.
So when the parents are saying, you know, we don't want the kid to play around and make a mess, what you're actually doing is you're actually impacting his future in a very negative way. If he's constantly exposed to all of this, and this later on means he cannot focus for long.
The reason being is because the cartoons themselves on the TV, they're always really, as you mentioned, the quick movement.
Yeah, quick movement, quick transition from one scene to the other, and there's just so much jumping around, so much going on.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in real life. So what happens in real life when you're watching something, you're kind of focused and you're following it in a flow. But imagine that being sped up 10 times.
Yeah.
So there's just so much and you're not focusing on one thing for a long time. And that's especially that age of the child. That's when a lot of his brain is developing or the child's brain is developing. So at that point, exposure to such images is actually, you know, that's definitely a cause of concern.
SubhanAllah. That's fine. Jazakallahu khaira. Should we move to our next segment, Ammar bhai? My dear son, brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, let's go to our next segment, which is a reminder. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A trader in Baghdad had malice, hatred for the saints of Allah Azza wa Jal. One Friday, he saw Sheikh Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi offering Salatul Jumu'ah. Straight after the Salah, the great Sheikh left the masjid. The man thought to himself, Bishr Hafi claims to be a wali of Allah, but he has no passion of staying inside the masjid. Let's see where he is going. With the intention of following him, the person starts following the great Sheikh. And Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi enters a market and buys some food. Seeing this, the person becomes more annoyed that he left the masjid just for the food. Then he thinks to himself, as soon as the person starts eating the bread, he will ask him, is this how a saint should behave? And leave the masjid just for the piece of bread. He kept on following the honorable Sheikh until the Sheikh entered a village and he entered a masjid. In the masjid was an ill person laying down. The Sheikh went to him, sat by his side, and fed the ill person with his own hands. Seeing this, the person came outside the masjid to see the village. Then he went back in the masjid and noticed the ill person was there, but the Sheikh had gone. He asked the ill person, where is the Sheikh? The ill person replied, he has gone back to Baghdad. He asked, how far is Baghdad from here? The ill person said, 40 miles away. Confused, the trader thought that he was now in trouble, as he did not realize at all how far he had come following the great Sheikh. He then asked, when will the Sheikh come here again? The sick person informed that the Sheikh would come back next Friday. He decided to stay there for a week as he had no other option. The following Friday, the Sheikh Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi came to visit the sick person and fed him as usual. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh asked the trader as to why he followed him. The trader acknowledged his mistake. The Shaykh rahmatullah alayh ordered him to stand up and follow him again. The trader followed the Shaykh and reached Baghdad in a short while. By witnessing this saintly miracle of Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh, the trader repented from having malice towards the awliya Allah and became a humble and sincere devotee of them. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon them and forgive us for their sake. Dear fine brothers, it is haram to have bad suspicion against a Muslim. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayhi has said, a bad suspicion arises from a wicked heart. One should never look down on the righteous people, especially the saints of Allah Azza wa Jal. These pious individuals are sincere in their deeds and have a very pure heart for the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Furthermore, these pious people can travel long distance in a twinkling of an eye. And sometimes, the punishment for a bad suspicion is immediately given in the world. So from this story we learn, we should never think bad of other Muslims. We should always be positive. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine. So let's turn to our next segment, the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, time is a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon each and every one of us. But one thing to bear in mind is that we are bound by time. We only have a set amount of time in this world, be it in the days of numbers that we have or the breath that we shall take. Considering this, we can begin to understand how valuable and precious our time is. As once it passes us, it shall never return. So what really matters is how we utilize and how we spend our time. Generally, as Muslims, we are well aware of how we should be spending our time. But from time to time, we do need a reminder. So inshallah, in today's daily hadith, we will learn a way in which we can invest our time efficiently. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qala, whoever says, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi, gurisat lahu nakhlatun fil jannah." That whoever says, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi, a tree will be planted for him in paradise. Subhanallah. A beautiful way this is. By this we are able to keep our tongue moist in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also be assured that tremendous reward is being gathered and is awaiting us in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our time, and that is that we use our time efficiently in righteous acts. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Yes, and it's time for this. Whilst you love listening to this beautiful hadith of the congregation, not Rabbi, alhamdulillah, also listening, but these are brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, those of you who are, mashallah, able to go and visit the masjid, pray their salah, in congregation with Jumaat, no doubt there are endless blessings and rewards for this. Amabai, our next topic is, or the next segment is, our health is wealth. You know, I'm going to continue eating some dates Well, mashallah, we also, you know, this is what happens a lot of times, isn't it? Abbas, you're watching TV.
Another thing that we eat so much leads to obesity. Yeah.
So this is going to be your next point. Rahmatullah, brothers, let's first watch what shall be coming on very soon. Our next segment is Health is Wealth. For this we have, mashallah, an optician, a practicing optician who goes by the name of Zishan. He's also a student of our Jamaat al-Madina. And inshallah, he shall be finishing possibly after another 3 years, inshallah. Our next segment, my dear Simon brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, for the 10th time, is approximately the 10th time, Health is Wealth. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you in Silsila Rise and Shine. The segment is Health is Wealth. And we've got our guest today, Dr. Shehzad Hussain Ashrafi with us, who is a consultant and serving in one of the UK-based hospitals. Alhamdulillah, let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Asab, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, la kulli hal.
MashaAllah. First of all, thank you so much, Jazakallahu khaira, for giving us your precious time. So, Doctor, today as I would like to ask the very first question, that what is actually stroke?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Stroke, as literal meaning, is a stroke, when something strike.
Right.
So what happens in a brain, there is an obstruction of a blood supply.
Okay.
Into one of the arteries. The arteries are the blood vessels which takes blood from heart to the brain.
Okay.
Now, because of the obstruction caused by either clot, or it is caused by some other material like a cholesterol deposition, that breaks up from the artery and causes obstruction distally. This obstruction obscures the blood supply.
Okay.
Now, brain is very sensitive to oxygen. And when there is an obstruction of a blood supply, thus brain does not get oxygen. So because of the deprivation of oxygen, the part of the brain starts dying.
Okay.
There is one estimate that every minute, about 1.6 to 1.9 million neuron dies. The neuron is the cell of the brain. That's why this is
1.9 million
neurons. Yes. 1.9 million neuron dies every minute when somebody has a stroke. And the long-term changes, long-term recovery is time critical. So every 10 minutes delays in the treatment reduces chance of a better outcome.
And I've heard that it is one of the leading death cause across the globe, is it?
Yes, unfortunately. About, there is one estimate says that one person out of six people in the world will have stroke at lifetime.
Oh, significant.
About 25 million people have a stroke every year worldwide. And it costs economy billions of pounds and billions of dollars on a daily basis because of the stroke.
Doctor, is this disease quite recent, or it has got its history the back days when the medicine was not quite, developed, or it has just emerged nowadays because of different issues and problems?
So the going back the history of the disease, this disease has always been there.
Okay.
But because of our lifestyles changes, there is a more prevalence of obesity, more prevalence of hypertension,
cholesterol,
diabetes, cholesterol. These are all risk factors of this disease. So because of these trends in recent lifestyle modifications, this disease has prevailed more than before.
Not to be, if you are at home and unfortunately if somebody is experiencing or risks of stroke, how one can recognize?
Very important question. Sadly, many of the people presented very lately in my experience because they didn't recognize that they are having stroke. and thus they missed one of the important treatment which is only could be given in the early hours of the stroke. So the best treatment, I'll start with the treatment part, right. Then it is easy to understand why this time critical presentation is very important. So when somebody have a stroke, if they present to the hospital within 4.5 hours,
okay,
there could be clotbusters given.
Okay.
And outcome of those patients presented early are far better than somebody present late and are deprived of that treatment. So that's why it is very important that we recognize.
As soon as possible, you just take the patient to the hospital.
And across the world, particularly when there is a good integration of emergency services, this emergency has been put on the highest possible alert. So when somebody, for example, in UK, the emergency number is 999. Mm-hmm. When somebody dials 999 and say, I'm having stroke, the operator put them in the highest priority. And the ambulance is scrambled approximately 5 to 7 minutes to the patient.
I see.
So that's very important. Now, how to recognize? There are few symptoms which are very easy to recognize and it's not difficult.
Yep.
So first symptom people might experience is they notice that the speech is impaired. So they might feel that they are unable to articulate, or they feel that the clarity of their speech is not as clear as they should be.
Right.
So they might lack in clarity and they would have slurred speech, or they might feel that what they want to say, they are unable to say. That's the first symptom.
Okay.
The second symptom is there will be paralysis of the one side of the body. They might not be able to pick up something.
Okay.
That's a very mild symptom. Mm-hmm. Or they have a complete paralysis and they can't even move their arm.
I see.
So there is loss of power into the arm.
So something is happening to your mouth or something happening to your arm?
Or leg. So these are, or sometimes there will be flattening of the one side of the face.
Okay.
So the angle of the mouth could be drawn. And this
dropped.
What we see, this fold, what we call nasolabial fold.
Okay.
This will become flat.
Right.
And usually they are coincide with the arm weakness. Okay. Or sometimes people might not be able to see one side.
Okay.
So these are the common symptoms. There are other symptoms which are not so common but important to recognize, is unable to walk on a straight line. So sometimes people might feel that they have a tendency to lean one side and they start falling over.
Okay.
Or they feel as if, nauzubillah, somebody has drunken and been intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody has that perception, that might be also a symptom of a stroke. Or sometimes, not easily recognizable, is they lose one eyesight.
Okay.
And they are unable to see anything from that one particular eye.
Right.
Now, how to recognize that there is a problem in the one eye? You close the other eye.
Okay, and then see.
And then see whether you are able to see or you are unable to see. That's difference in terms of many of the stroke have symptoms of not able to see one side where both of the eyes are affected. So that is a stroke of a brain, but where there is a problem in the eye, that is a stroke of the eye. When you close one eye, you are unable to see.
Okay.
So in summary, unable to speak or difficulty in speaking.
Okay.
Lack in clarity of a speaking.
Having problem in your arm.
Coordination problem, unable to pick something, unable to button the shirt, unable to pick something, unable to cut the food.
Or complete paralysis.
Or complete paralysis, unable to walk, or walking as if somebody has been intoxicated. Or somebody feel as if they have lost sensation of the half of the body.
I see.
These are the very common symptoms of a stroke.
Sorry.
When somebody recognizes the symptoms, the most difficulty is people feel that they will get away and symptoms will improve. That hope actually worsening the outcome. So when you experience such symptoms, my advice to you is do not hesitate. Do not wait.
Don't delay.
Don't delay. Just call 999 if you are in the UK. Call 911 if you are in other Western countries, or it is an international emergency number. an ambulance should be sent immediately. That's most important thing to recognize a stroke, because the treatment options are far better when somebody present to us immediately. Because the long-standing devastation of the stroke is far greater than people perceive normally. There are far more complications when somebody have a stroke.
MashaAllah. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, this topic is quite lengthy. We cannot definitely comprehend in one short segment. But definitely today we have given you a bit of awareness how to recognize stroke symptoms. Alhamdulillah, I hope that you must have benefited from this information. But definitely we'll carry on with this topic of stroke, and in upcoming episodes and segments we'll talk more about it. So keep watching Rise and Shine Madani Channel, and inshallah we'll come back with another beautiful episode with another interesting and important information for you.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. That was our mashallah brother Zishan telling us about dry eyes, Omar Bhai. Gee, you wish to also share something in regards to, I think it was obesity.
I was saying,
sort of correlation between screen exposure and obesity.
So there is even research has been carried out, and there is this correlation between the amount of TV you watch and the chances of obesity. And even, I think there are a couple of more illnesses that were mentioned, but obesity in particular, because there's a lot of inactivity. And if you think about our lifestyle right now, we're in the office pretty much all day, so we're sat on a chair or whatever. And then when we go home, we're sat down again, and we're eating as well, snacking as we call it. So all of that, and there's not much movement, there's not much activity, so because of that, there is at least an increase in the weight, even if you don't say obesity, like, you know, but there's still at least that increase in weight, but there, it does increase that chance of obesity and so on and so forth. Another thing which is important for us to keep in mind is, if we look at it again from the point that this is a commercial industry, so there's actually, the self-esteem of a person is really highly impacted as well. Reason being is because when a company is trying to sell you a product, they're going to make sure that they make you feel like you are not there and you need to be there. So they create this need for you to buy that product. And automatically then you're feeling low and you're feeling ungrateful. Even if you don't need that product, but you just think it'd be good to have it to impress so-and-so. And this is a big issue that we have. The children, are they? Yes, and certain ads can be targeted for children as well. Particularly, we spoke last night about fast food. That even if you're trying to keep a fast food culture out of your house,
right,
the advertisement is geared towards your children. So the children, they're very easily going to believe what's promised in the commercial. And they're going to nag their parents, and they'll annoy their parents until they get them that burger or whatever they want. So that's another thing. But, so that's one thing. And you know, we're constantly being sold this magic solution to everything like this. And people buy it, or people go and buy the product, and they realize it wasn't what was promised. But then we keep doing it again and again. And the reason being is, even from a marketing point of view, there's a lot of psychology that goes behind there to create that certain reaction in your body to excite you to go and purchase a product. So that's one thing. And we're always, you know, in this society, we'll always be sold, will always be told that you're not enough yet. You need this, and you need this. You need this car, you need this house, you need to buy this brand of clothing. So we'll constantly be sold, and we have to realize that. And then more importantly is the impact that this has, particularly on our Islamic sisters. Because they, you know, the media itself passes this message on to women, that they need to be always looking beautiful, and they need to beautify themselves. And what happens in that is, there's a lot of, like I think we've spoken about this before, that there's a lot of image enhancement and editing to make people look even more beautiful. So then what's happening is, there's a chase. You're chasing a beauty which doesn't exist. So you're trying to reach to a level which is not realistic. And so you're constantly buying more and more products to get to that point. And so this is a very important point for the parents out there, that, you know, the ones, the parents that have daughters, so to also educate. When we think of educating children, maybe generally we have this education, general education, which is both fitting for boys and girls. But we need to have things which are particularly for boys, which you need to educate them on. And likewise, particularly for girls, which you need to educate them on. Because you need to get to your child before the industry gets to your child. Before the beauty industry and you know, all of that fashion industry. And there's a lot that goes on there. And this is another thing that we don't really think about.
We need to understand that there's more beauty, you know, natural beauty is the greatest of beauties, isn't it?
And, so women in this day and age are under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure, and then there's a pressure from media, and so on and so forth.
Nowadays, weddings and things, you know, if a woman's not to put her makeup on, they spend hundreds of pounds. Why? I don't understand. You know, the next morning when the husband wakes up, why is he going to see my Islamic brothers and viewers of Madhya Shah? It's true, isn't it? Yeah, why spend hundreds
like
of pounds?
All of this discussion that we've had, we've not even touched upon the permissibility or the impermissibility yet. You know, so we do need to emphasize that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're consuming, a lot of the content that we're watching is actually impermissible in the light of Islam. So we need to be careful with regards to that as well.
Madhya Shah brothers and viewers of Madhya Shah, we have a short message for the views of Madin Channel. Let's see what that message is. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sadaqah is such a great act, and it is a highly encouraged act within the teachings of Islam. In fact, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned various blessings of giving charity and sadaqah. For example, it brings blessings into a person's sustenance. It brings blessings into a person's life. It increases a person's lifespan, and it prevents a bad death, and it prevents calamities, and so on and so forth. There are many virtues and blessings mentioned in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam with regards to giving charity. And then particularly giving charity in Ramadan, the reward is increased and multiplied many folds. So now this is an opportunity for us to, alhamdulillah, participate in the religious works in order to help to improve and increase the religious works of Da'wat Islami. Alhamdulillah, in this month, many Muslims take out their zakah and give zakah. First and foremost, keep in mind those of your relatives, close relatives that are deserving of zakah, pay them zakah. And then after that, do not forget Da'wat Islami. Da'wat Islami is working in many departments of religion, carrying out religious services. For example, right now we have Madani Channel. Likewise, Madrasatul Madina, where there are thousands and thousands of students gaining the education of Quran free of charge. Likewise, we have Jamiatul Madina, where there are students undergoing the course in order to become an Islamic scholar. And many other departments where Da'wat Islami is carrying out religious activities in order to benefit the community. And this would be a means of continuous sadaqah for us if we can help in increasing the works of Da'wat Islami. So do not forget your Da'wat Islami when you're taking out your zakah.
Certified people, it's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madhya Channel, remember, when you are giving your sadaqah, please give it to Da'wat Islami. Yes, we do not have advertisement. We do not show anything immoral. We do not, you know, we've not made it, have we, a method of just attaining money for ourselves or from Madani Channel itself, Madani Samra Brothers, but rather, you know, anything which is given towards a charity. Da'wat Islami is a charity. It is a religious and Islamic charity, doing the work of the deen, helping people all over the world, and not only, you know, giving temporary aid, but also, you know, aiding and augmenting individuals more permanently, you know, teaching them so that they may in the future be able to help themselves also. So it's the best form of aid, isn't it? Unfortunately, Amarbai, you know, I would have asked you to say more, mashallah, on that beautiful message of yours, but time has run out. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, don't forget, Rise and Shine will be returning tomorrow. But for now, rise and shine by sending durood upon the greatest of mankind. Sallu ala al-habib! Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.